This country is once again trying to find answers to a plague of gun violence after recent mass shootings in Georgia and Colorado. In Metro DC, a professor has developed a method that has nothing to do with passing new laws. He's just listening and spending time at the hospital bedside of young men who've just been shot. A new documentary profiles the work of University of Maryland researcher Joseph Richardson. Here's a scene from Life After the Gunshot. This is Slim, one of the men Richardson met at the hospital.
Everybody that I know got a family member dead or locked up. I'm in a cycle. Soon I'm born, I'm already in a cycle. The next generation is in a cycle right now. The kids that's being born in my neighborhood, they growing up to the beefs that we started or we inherited. They traumatized right now. They don't know it though.
Let's meet the people behind this project. Professor Richardson, good to speak with you.
Thank you for having me.
And we've also got Che Bullock. He's executive producer of the documentary. He also meets with the young men when they come into the hospital with those wounds. Che, good to speak with you as well.
Nice meeting you.
You know, that tape from Slim there is really tough to hear. Tell me his story, how you came to know him, and what his state was when he came into that hospital. Che, why don't you start?
Slim came into the hospital stabbed multiple times. He also articulated that, you know, he's been through some things in life and that he was a D.C. Based rapper. So, you know, we just built a relationship with him. I don't want to say overnight, but, you know, over a month or two, and he started to, you know, disclose some of the trauma he's been through, and he was open to, you know, help. And I think that was the biggest thing with Slim, is that he came in with an open mind and an open heart.
Is that the goal when you met with him? I mean, did you want him to start opening up about his trauma and what led him to this place?
I want them to know that, hey, it's an avenue there for help if you want to take it. I don't believe in forcing anyone to just open up just because. And over the time that I've been doing the bedside introductions, some guys don't want it. And when they don't want it, you know, I say, okay, hey, here's a pamphlet. You know, when you're ready to change your mind, or if you want to change your mind, you know, here's my number.
Professor Richardson, let's bring you into this conversation. Slim was one of how many patients do you think that you've worked with in this program over the years?
He was one of 116 that we worked with.
116 patients who were either, you know, gravely shot or stabbed, all facing, you know, pretty serious injuries. Why did you think you needed to do this?
We wanted to understand what were their experiences dealing with trauma and how they coped with trauma following their injury and even prior to their injury, like the trauma they experienced over the course of their lives. But we also were interested in understanding the ways that structural violence impacted their lives as well. So, for example, living in a neighborhood with high concentrations of poverty, living in a neighborhood in D.C. where there are food deserts and their lack of access to healthy, quality foods and resources. Mm. And we felt that it was important for us to actually show their stories visually, because we've written several articles that have focused on young Black men and their risk factors for coming back to the hospital, which can reach up to 6 out of every 10 people that we visit at bedside may have been injured 2 or more times and have been hospitalized. Wow. For those injuries. We were also really interested in making sure and ensuring that their stories were heard, because as academics, we can write our findings and typically we place them in peer-reviewed journals and few people will ever read them, but we really wanted a broader population of people that are not familiar with this work to understand and the lives of these young men and to humanize their lives as well.
Yeah. You point out that when these men come to the hospital, the data show it's either not for the first time or if it is, that they're unfortunately very likely to be back at some point. And you're right, it is a very visual project that you've embarked on with this documentary. You can see the wounds that many of these young men have suffered. I imagine that when you're with them, especially early on, that they're afraid. Maybe they don't want to show it or say it, but that they're afraid and that they're angry. How do you walk them back from that so that they can start the healing process?
Well, for us, it's really about establishing relationships of trust, and when we first meet them, to build on that. And as Che mentioned, it doesn't happen overnight, but they're more likely to reveal to us some of the trauma that they're experiencing. And then through Che's work with them, working very close with them, able to connect them to mental health services to begin the process of how to cope.
Well, in Che, if they're going to trust anyone, it might be you, because you've been there, right? I mean, you've been described as a credible messenger because of your own personal story.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, it's no better person than me. You know, I come from the same environment they come from. I've been, violently injured. I'm dealing with a lot of the same trauma that they might be dealing with. Other professionals would walk into these rooms and they don't know how to build a relationship with these gentlemen. They come in there judging, right? And the guys could feel that energy. Mm-hmm. So I believe in the law of attraction. I believe that I'm going to give the guys a piece of me, so in return, they can give me a piece of them. So I would walk into the rooms and say, hey, my name is Che. And immediately I would let them know what I've been through in my life. And that's what forms the relationship. That's the spark. And they say, hey, man, I've been through the same thing. How did you handle this?
Empathy.
Yep, empathy. Compassion.
Che, could you tell us more about the injuries that you've sustained over the years and what led you to the hospital?
Yeah, for sure. So I was stabbed 13 times at a local club in the DMV area.
How close were you to losing your life?
From a scale of 1 to 10, I believe I was at a 9. I was stabbed 13 times.
Yeah. Well, we got to say, you were in Professor Richardson's program in the early days, so you know this. And I want to play this tape from the film. This is your dad. He's answering a question from you about how he felt when he heard for the first time that you'd been seriously injured and stabbed. Here he is.
And when the sister told me what had happened, you know what I'm saying? I said, well, okay, that's part of the game. That's the life he lived. When God sent the angel, it was you, man. Because that's not the life I want for my son, man.
That angel he's referring to there is Professor Richardson. So, Jay, how did you feel when you heard your dad say that?
Honestly, I thought that I was the only one that was really affected by my incident. And for him to acknowledge how he felt about me being stabbed multiple times and how he acknowledged the blessing within the burden by me meeting Dr. Richardson through that experience, it made me very happy. It definitely made me very happy.
Are those conversations you'd ever had with your dad before?
No, that was the first time that we had that, conversation.
Must have meant something.
Yeah, it definitely did. It definitely did. I mean, to see, my father, first time I met my father, he was incarcerated. You know what I mean? So I can only imagine the type of trauma, that he might have went through. But to see his son come from a place where I was, lacking certain social skills to where I am today, of course it meant something. Because I'm accomplishing things that he didn't accomplish. Mm. And I think that's all a part of being, a father, to see your son do better than what you did.
I think what you're telling me is that somehow you were able to break this cycle that we heard Slim talk about at the top, where he said he was born into a cycle. The kids from his neighborhood are in a trauma cycle and they don't even know it. So, Dr. Richardson, what are we supposed to do about this? There are so many threads intersecting this problem: gun violence, poverty, racism, mass incarceration. What should we do?
I mean, I think you've listed all of those things, and in addition to many other structural factors that affect the lives of the people that we work with. I think it's a matter of changing the language in terms of how we define violence. The violence is structural at first, which means that they can be averted. We can avert the harm that we have perpetrated, but also we have to invest. The Biden administration has committed to $5 billion for violence prevention and intervention. The other issue is the lack of funding for gun violence research. And then the last thing I would say is we need more researchers of color. Mm. Although communities of color, and specifically Black communities, are disproportionately impacted by gun violence, we often lack in the pipeline gun violence researchers of color, which are tied back to this lack of gun violence research funding. And so it's an investment that we all need to make in order to have a healthier society, because no one should have to die at the hands of a gun.
You profiled 10 young men in this film. One of them has since died, shot to death in 2019. which I'm sure was hard news for you to take there, having met him and spent time with him. How are the others doing? And has this program been enough to help get people on track?
The other young men are doing fairly well. And in fact, I would say out of the 116 that Che and I worked with, we only had one person come back to the hospital for a violent injury. Mm. You know, that's close to 1%. When we started, the trauma recidivism rate at that hospital was 32%, and it can reach as high as 60%. The young men are doing okay, but I think they could do actually much better than they're doing right now if we had more resources to commit to improving their lives. But for what we've done up to this point, they've been quite successful.
Professor Joseph Richardson and Che Bullock on their new documentary. It's called Life After the Gunshot. Thank you for taking the time to do this and to make this project and to speak with us about it. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.